When I said earlier that I prayed that Brian would get back soon, I was hoping within the next 5 minutes. My wife asked me this morning why I was so nervous. I said, well, what do you think? She said, well, quit volunteering. Ed, us Army guys don't ever volunteer for anything, do we? But in the heat of the moment, a year ago, I said I would do this today. I started thinking about this when Brian and everybody announced they were going to Israel, and that was just about last year at this time. So I've had close to a year to prepare, and immediately there had been something I'd wanted to talk about for a long time. And I had a, Dixie, would you quit laughing at me? I had picked out a title and everything, and it was called My Three Loves. And just to let you know, it's not my wife, it's not my son, it's not my daughter. It was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But somewhere along the line, I don't know if someone said something to me or I heard something in one of Brian's sermons, but it just didn't seem right. And I don't know where along the line the word promise came into my mind. So that's where I'm at today. I'm going to talk about the promises of God. Now, in the King James Version, promises, the word promise or promises shows up 248 times in the King James, and in the NIV, 363 times. Well, there's no way I'm talking about all that today. But we are going to talk about what I feel are some of the real important promises that God has made to us in the Bible. First of all, what does a promise mean? A promise is a declaration that one will do something specified. I think we've all made promises sometimes in our life. Yes, honey, I'll take out the trash. Yes, honey, I'll cut the grass. All those sorts of things. Dix, you ever said any promises? Little Michael, have you ever said any promises? Did you always keep them? I didn't think so. So, because it shows up that much in the Bible, it's very important. So today we're just going to talk about some promises that I think are really important. Oh, and one big promise, if you was ever in the military like Ed was, they're called foxhole promises. You're in the heat of a battle, and you'll promise God anything if he will get you out of that foxhole and get you back. So that's a real big promise that we make. The first promise I want to talk about today is the promise of a Savior. Now, I didn't give, what's your name? Zach. I didn't give Zach anything, so just bear with me as I fumble through the Bible here. But I want to talk about the first one is the promise of a Savior that God gave us. So if you would like, go to Genesis 3:14 and 15. This is words from God. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between you, your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, everyone knows there was never, ever supposed to be pain, sin. God loved us, still loves us. But because Adam and Eve would not leave the tree alone, he brought sin upon us. So everyone ever born is born into sin. You can't avoid it. It's there. You're going to sin till the day you die. But a Savior was thought about way back when, because God knew that we could not stay away from sin. When sin came into the world, God knew we needed a Savior. We could not fight sin on our own, so God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to save us from ourselves because we couldn't. What a great thing. Do you know where we would be destined for if there was not a Savior? Believe me, it's not pretty. The second promise I want to talk about is God's promise to Abraham, and that is in Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in your family, and in you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abraham was told many things. He was told that he would be the father of many nations. He was told he would have a child at a very old age. Did God ever let him down? No, no. God was with him every step of the way. The third thing I'd like to talk about is God has promised to supply every need we have. And we're going to read Philippians 4:19, if I can find it. Philippians 4:19. "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He has given us everything we have. Mitch has got a great apple orchard. Mitch, that orchard came from God, didn't it? We all have children. Great blessings. We've all had good jobs. Maybe we didn't want to go to them, but we had them. We have homes. We have cars. We have grandchildren. All great blessings. But those didn't come because we're lucky. Those didn't come because we're nice people. Those came from the Lord our God. And only He can give those things. Now, I want to let you know, don't go home after church and look for two Cadillacs in the garage or a pot of gold in your bank. It's only for the necessities of life. He's never promised to make us wealthy. He's never promised to make us rich. He just promises to take care of us. Number four, God has promised that His grace is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I can see why Brian has these put up on the screen. Too easy or too hard just to mark. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I'm sorry. It helps if I get there. Please bear with me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses than the power of Christ who dwells in me. We are not able to do anything on ourselves, on our own. Yeah, we can do bad things, but we can't go out and do the good things that we're meant to do. We need Jesus Christ in here, everywhere, to be able to do the things that we need to do. We're just not capable. We're just not capable. I also want to read Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one could boast. We are saved only through God's grace. Jesus died on the cross so that we could live. Without Jesus dying on the cross, there is no salvation. There's no hope, only hell for all eternity. And I don't know about you, but that scares me terribly. And I also want to read Romans 5:2. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace, in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Again, without God, without Jesus, we're nothing. We can only do his will because of his grace. The next one, God has promised victory over death. God first resurrected Jesus by way of assuring our resurrection. Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are still witnesses. We witness that God did do what he said. He promised that Jesus would go on the cross. He promised that he would be resurrected in 3 days. Anybody know anybody else that ever resurrected somebody? I don't think so. Only God. He has the power alone. And I also want to read 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ Jesus for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, it was foretold in the Old Testament that a Savior would come, that's Jesus. He would hang on a cross, he would die, and 3 days later, he would arise. And I also want to read 5 through 7. No. I'm sorry, 15:57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we should praise God every day for giving us Jesus Christ, because without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. God has promised that those who believe in Jesus and are baptized for the forgiveness of sins will be saved. Mark 16:6. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has arisen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. After the third day, I believe it was Mary Magdalene and a couple other ladies went to look for at the tomb. It was wide open. Stone rolled back. Jesus was gone. And an angel sitting there said, "He has risen. He is gone." And what a great promise from God that he would arise on the third day according to the scriptures. It was foretold. In Acts 2:32. I'm sorry. 2:38. And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." God promised when he left his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Okay. God has promised his people eternal life. John 27-30. John 10:27-30. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they say, 'Follow me.' And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This, in a way, has always confused me, because we talk about the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, but they are all the same. It's hard for me to grasp that sometimes. But Jesus said many times, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He was telling them then that he was God and God was within him. Okay. Hebrews 3:8. 13:8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever." Jesus is today, is the same today as he was yesterday. He never changes. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He doesn't take vacation. He is always the same. He does not change. If you talk to God a year ago and you talk to him today, it's the same God. He doesn't change. It's not like us. We change, our moods change, our appearance changes, we grow up, and we're just never the same. Today, I've talked about good promises, promises that we should hold close, promises that we should keep in our mind and our heart, but God made also a not-so-pleasant promise. And that is Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I don't have a number. I'm sure there's experts out there that do. But there are so many people in the world that either don't know Jesus Christ or they don't want to know Jesus Christ because they like the dark. They want to do what they want. They don't like rules, regulations, commandments. They want to do it their way. Well, God's got an answer for that, and someday when he comes back, he is going to fulfill that promise. The Christians, the followers of Jesus, will go to heaven, and the people that stayed in the dark will go to hell for everlasting. I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock. Wonder why. Could not get back to sleep. And as I was laying there, I thought to myself, I'm talking about a lot of promises, but I'm not talking about the greatest promise. Does anybody have an idea what the greatest promise ever made to us was? Nope. 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 I'm looking for the verse is what I'm looking for. And it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Simple. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Is that hard? It is for some people. And that's those people that want to live in the dark because they don't want to give their life, their time, everything to the Savior. God created everything. Everything you see, everything you hear, comes from God. How can you not love God? Thank you. Oh, I had two promises to give you today. First one, I was very nervous. I'm soaked. And the second one was I wasn't going to take very long.